This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Seconds for game clock and the shot clock.
Worst case scenario, we're going to overtime.
Jokic a screen, Murray to try to break the tie.
No time out by the Lakers, I gotta go.
James above the feed, a push shot, no! Zero's on the clock, the Nuggets advance. They have won, and the defense of their championship title is alive and well.
Absolute. And utter relief. That is the only way I can describe that game. Angel, I love watching basketball. I can watch basketball until I'm blue in the face. I gotta be honest, this is the circle of trust here on the whole show. I did not enjoy that game. I was irritated and frustrated the entire game. And it had everything that you could want in a playoff game. I just expect this team to win the series so much that any idea that they might have to go back to L.A. absolutely floored me in a very negative way. And so I'll be honest, guys. I was not having a good – I straight up was not having a good time. Nuggets get the win, though, 108-106, and they take this series – they're taking it to the Timberwolves now. Coming up on Saturday, we do not have a time yet. Imagine that's going to be a Saturday night. Tell me that's a Saturday night. That'll be a Saturday night game. Timberwolves, Nuggets. I'll get into some matchup stuff there, but we have to relive this series. Have we seen a series like this? I mean, where one team had the lead so much, and then they still lose it. I mean, it absolutely boggles me. 165 minutes led by the Lakers. They only trailed for 59 minutes of this series, and they lose. And this is, I did the glass half full, glass half empty tweet. The glass half full is, I don't think we saw Nuggets basketball, and you won the series 3-1. Glass half empty, have the Nuggets developed a really bad habit? You let me know how you're viewing this situation. First event is text line 888-530-0043. The final stretch, Angel, I mean, you go into this thing and it was at the start of the fourth, the Nuggets up 81-79. They finally, you know, kind of get established that lead. You never felt really great about it necessarily, but you had the lead going into the fourth, and we had just back and forth basketball. After that, that last minute or so was insanity. You know, 2:34 left in the game. Joker makes the 5-foot driving, floating little jump shot there. Nuggets go up 101-99. Austin Reeves answers with a three, 102-101. Nikola Jokic answers a few seconds later, and he gets a quick jump shot or a little layup, and it's 103-102 Nuggets. 133, LeBron makes the driving layup, 104-103. That's when, was that the last lead? for the Lakers. That was the last lead, I believe, at 133. LeBron gets it. Back and forth. Murray missed a shot. Gordon got an offensive rebound. Then it goes out to Jamal Murray. He hits three. Nuggets go up 106-104. And LeBron got one of two free throws late with 26 seconds left. It's 106-105. Then LeBron gets fouled again on the next time down because he made both of those free throws, didn't he? Yeah, he made both those free throws. Then it's 106-106, and then, of course, you have, as you heard, courtesy of TNT, Jamal Murray hitting again a game winner to make the score 108-106. One last effort, no timeouts, challenge, drama, all that stuff. We'll get into it. And you have Prince missing the 40-foot three-point jumper. Some arguing that was a foul. It's not a foul. KCP went straight up. Prince went into him. It's not a foul. Game over. Somehow, Denver wins the series 4-1. And listen, I will give props to the Lakers. You have to give props to LeBron James. LeBron is one of the greats. He's one of the best to ever do this. No question about it. Anthony Davis, he does struggle with the injuries, but he is a great player. And the Lakers fought extremely hard to try to make this something and just couldn't get the job done. The Nuggets were the better team. It just didn't feel like it very often. Dixon texting in, I felt exactly the same. I had zero fun watching that game. Even at the end, I felt like I was getting punched in the groin for three straight hours. I did not enjoy it. I'm sorry. I love playoff basketball, man, but there's something about your expectations of a team, especially locally, and you mix that in with a close back-and-forth game when you really feel like they should be handling this series a little bit better, and that game was just really stressful. And yet again, Angel, another first half where the Lakers had the lead. Game one, it was 60-57 Lakers. Nuggets win. Game two, 59-44 Lakers. We know what happened there. 20-point comeback. Nuggets win. Game three, it was 53-49. Nuggets win that game. Game four, 61-48. Lakers ended up showing up in the third, held on and won that thing. Game five, Lakers up 53-50. The Lakers had the lead at the half every single freaking game in this series. Yet the Nuggets found a way in the second halves to come back, win the game, hold on, find a way to do it. This was like last year's sweep. We joked about the NBA insiders saying, well, that was the toughest sweep I've ever seen. Hey, listen, you're probably not wrong if you want to say that was the toughest gentleman's sweep we've seen. It was tough. To deny that means you're just lost in the sauce. You're lost in the Nuggets Kool-Aid. This was way more difficult than I thought it was going to be. And that's what I'm asking today. Well, my Chipper's Lane's poll question is, how's the series going down between the Nuggets and the T-Wolves? But the other question is, how are you viewing it? Glass half full, glass half empty? First Advantage text lines 888-530-0043. On that poll question, nobody thinks the Nuggets are sweeping. I'm with you. Barely anybody thinks that the Nuggets are going to get this done in five. Most people are going Nuggets in six, but it's either Nuggets in six or Nuggets in seven. So let me know. Follow me on X or Twitter at Whole Show, and yeah, you can vote there. I'd like to see where we end up. 4% saying Nuggets in five. Let's talk about the injuries last night, too. Jamal Murray had the calf strain and battled through it. He had his best game of the series. That was a Jamal Murray night. And Angel, I should have told you to pull the clip from yesterday. I called it. I don't want to be right about it, but I am. This is Jamal. I've watched Jamal Murray for a long time. I've watched him closely. I've watched the Nuggets closely. And I just felt like, yeah, he's kind of hurt. People are counting him out again. We're in that weird oh, is Jamal going to be the future of the Nuggets? And you even brought up the T word yesterday and all that stuff. And I said, okay, no, Jamal Murray is a creature of the moment. He is a creature of, if you're going against him, he's going to rise above it. If you're all in, he's probably going to back down. I think I tweeted this in game two. The more I bitch and moan about Jamal, the better he does. Maybe we all need to just count him out from the beginning, and he will shine. But Jamal battled through it. And this is, I brought up this difference last night. A guy gets hurt. I'm not Keyshawn Johnson. I don't cheer for guys to get hurt. If you get hurt and you're on the floor and you're writhing in pain, go to the bench. Take the time you need. Get up and go. Jamal Murray doesn't do that stuff. He just kind of, I think once I saw him grimace with his calf. KCP, I mean, he limped, but did he ever on his face look like he was hurting? These guys are just freaking monsters out there. Anthony Davis goes down, and I'm not going to sit here. I don't know who's feeling what. Jamal versus AD. I'm just telling you, man, when LeBron gets hurt or AD gets hurt, there is zero chance you are not going to know exactly what is hurting and for how long. I've seen Jamal go through stuff. I've seen Joker go through stuff. I don't see them constantly. Maybe a time or two down, they're kind of rubbing whatever they hit or something. But Anthony Davis gets bumped into by Michael Porter Jr. And listen, that could just be awkward the way it happened and your shoulder. I'm 37. I'm to the point now, if I stretch in a certain way, I'm like, whoa, what happened there? So I get it. Things can hit you in a way where it doesn't look that bad, but it is. Anthony Davis gets hit by Porter. What don't you do if you get hit in the shoulder? I don't think as a 7-foot-plus man, you drop to the ground the next thing. I mean, it's a shoulder. You know? It's going to make it worse.
Yeah, I think my first impression was, oh, he, you know, dislocated it or something, and I guess it ended up being more of a stinger or a nerve thing because he's rubbing his shoulder and his neck, and there's a nerve that goes right in that area, and that's, you know, and he's like dangling his arm the rest of the game, and that's kind of what it looked like. I don't know if falling on the ground's going to agitate that more, but how did that happen? I mean, Michael barely bumped him.
Barely bumped him, man.
That's a normal basketball, like a minimal contact, as I will use the ref's terms.
Yeah.
Minimal contact on the shoulder.
The minimalist of minimal contact I've ever seen.
And that ref's call, when we'll talk about the challenge, but the ref having to explain it for 2 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that one drove the Anthony Davis one, the one that would have finally sent Nikola Jokic to the line.
Yep.
He didn't go to the line once.
Nope.
I had to double check that. Because sometimes I get in the mode and I'm not checking the box scores. I'm just watching the flow of the game and I'll tweet and interact and that kind of thing. But you don't really realize it until you realize it. And then you go, wait a second. I have not seen Joker go to the free throw line. Is that real? And then you go look at the box score and there it is.
Well, Jamal went once and that was early on a technical foul. Michael Porter Jr. went to the line. He was 5 for 6 and Christian Brown was 2 for 2. No other Nuggets shot a free throw.
And the tech was, I think it was a defensive 3 seconds.
Yep, on LeBron.
And then Porter went on an and one after a three-pointer.
Yep.
Yeah, were they at nine?
Nine. 8 of 9, and the Lakers were 18 of 27.
Whew. And I just don't like to be the ref guy. I really don't. But how does a 7-foot center who is the MVP of the league, who lives in the paint, and I'll give you, he didn't live in the paint as much in the series as we've seen him in the past, but still, that's primarily where he's doing his work. How does he not get one foul? Not one time. I just think of that movie Walk Hard. Did you ever see that movie Walk Hard? Oh, come on. The guy from Step Brothers, not Will Ferrell, but the other, John C. Reilly?
John C. Reilly.
And Tim Meadows is there. And every time they're doing something bad, like alcohol and drugs, he comes in, and then they joke about it. Tim Meadows is always like, and you never once paid for drugs, not once. And I just kept thinking of Tim Meadows every time I asked the question,
Did Nikola Jokic not get to the free throw line? And I just hear Tim Meadows, not once. It's insane to me. But you weathered the storm. You absolutely weathered this storm. And I'm not, like, disrespecting today LeBron and AD and all that stuff. AD, when he's healthy, is a monster. And that sucks for a guy like that because he could be an MVP caliber guy, but he just can't stay healthy. And LeBron James is going to go down as one of the best players to ever do it, but there are fairly significant differences between LeBron and the way other stars have handled their business. I'm not a fan of the dramatic antics. I like drama. I like cockiness too. I like arrogance. I like Anthony Edwards doing the X-Pac, you know, D-Generation X suck it thing to the Suns fan base. I love that. I don't like the stomping up and down and just taking your mouth guard out and, oh, man, I got fat. I don't like that. And there's a lot of complaining in the NBA, but the way LeBron does it is worse than anybody, and you cannot tell me otherwise.
Yeah, and it feels like just watching him complain after a foul, it's like, when do you as a ref just say, LeBron, stop talking.
Stop it, man.
You've been talking to me for 5 minutes.
And every time you go to, you drive in the lane and there's contact, every time you don't just, like Joker does the, I think Tanner calls it the more please, can I have some more? And he puts his hands out like he's, yeah, I'm not saying I sign off on that either. But there's a difference between Joker doing it and the way LeBron does it.
Oh, and then Jokic does it for 3 seconds. Once he gets to half court, it's over with. And then when there's a timeout, dead ball, he'll go over and talk to the ref and say, hey, this is what's happening. He's pulling me. He's doing this.
LeBron's walking around like a caged lion, screaming at the fans, saying the refs are effing terrible. Does a little what? Fake little jab step at a woman on the sidelines?
She brought it on herself with the, you know, doing the wham wham hand signal.
Yeah, I would be annoyed at that, but these are the things I kind of like about LeBron, though. I thought after the way he interacted, I didn't like the lunge thing, but then afterward when he's like, whoa, he's doing the Bill Murray thing, mm-hmm. Like I was like, LeBron could be probably a cool guy, but it's the antics sometimes. I saw the commercial, the Taco Bell ad with Ted Lasso that he's in, and it was funny. And I was almost going to tweet it, but I didn't want to mess with the whole LeBron argument. He can be kind of a likable guy.
Sure.
But you mix in all the antics, and I don't like a lot of I've talked about it, his post-game stuff. He brings a book out there. Like, you're literally bringing a book out here just so we know you're reading a book. You're not going to be reading that during the press conference. Although Jamal watches UFC fights, so maybe he is. He's just going to put his glasses on, his bifocals on, and just start pulling out, like, chapter one. Here we go. Oh, sorry, I'm in the middle of this. Let me finish this thought. But there's just a difference. How some superstars handle injuries. And guys like LeBron and AD. And so that was one thing. That was kind of a interesting takeaway. How about the challenge thing? So in the NBA, if you challenge once, you win, you get to keep the timeout. And if you challenge the second time, is that what it is, or is it altogether you don't get to keep the timeout? Because that was the big argument, because after the Anthony Davis challenge, which they won, they didn't keep the timeout. And obviously that would have been beneficial for the Lakers with 4 seconds left on the clock to be able to call a timeout and get an out-of-bounds play.
So each team is entitled to one challenge to start the game. If the first challenge is successful, coaches will be rewarded with a second one or a replacement. Coaches cannot challenge a call in the final 2 minutes of the fourth quarter and the last 2 minutes of any overtime. And you also have to have a timeout to use your challenge.
So you lose the timeout then?
Yes.
It's essentially a timeout.
Yes.
Okay, so even on the first challenge, you lose the timeout.
Yeah, and I think it's happened to Malone a couple times this series. You'll call a challenge, you don't get it. Okay, you lose your challenge for the rest of the game, and you lose the timeout for that challenge.
But if you challenge and you get it, you get a bonus challenge, but it is a timeout.
You don't get a bonus timeout. You get your challenge replaced.
Just the challenge. Okay. Well, and that's why, listen, they put it in place because they're essentially saying if you challenge something, you are calling a timeout. That's what they're saying.
Right.
So that's the understanding behind the rule, is you're stopping flow, you're stopping the game, that's a timeout. You're going to be punished for it. Now, Charles Barkley and Shaq said last night on the post game that, why are we paying for you? You're the ref. You screwed up. Why? We challenged it and got it right, proved you wrong, but we still have to give up a timeout. And I can go there with them on that. The only thing I'll say to this is challenging plays is the new thing in the NBA. Like, fairly, right? 10 years? I don't know.
It's only been, no.
No? Five? Something like that? Yep. It's a luxury. You know, the NBA decided it was a good thing. They probably had a vote on it and all that stuff. So they're still sorting it out. I'm not going to fight over it. That was the rule. They knew the rule. I mean, but they won the challenge, so it worked out. That would have been the one. That's a debatable call, too, with Anthony Davis. Did he have his arm on Joker? I mean, the way they call things sometimes. Back in the day, you wouldn't have thought about calling this, but the way they call it, that should have probably been a foul, but it wasn't, and they reviewed it. Okay, fine. Not arguing it.
Well, then they're on the broadcast saying, oh, that should be a jump ball, and it's, no, that's not how challenges work. You can't say, no, it's not a foul, but it is a jump ball.
Why wasn't it? Yeah, because it wasn't a foul. So where did the ball go after that? Did it go out of bounds?
I think so.
So it would have been out on Joker because it hit him. So I guess.
And yeah, and the Lakers got the ball after the challenge.
Yeah. So it must have went out of bounds. Because if the ball's just rolled, like let's say it hits Joker in the head and it rolls and the refs call a whistle and the ball never rolls out of bounds and nobody gains possession, then they would do a jump ball.
Right.
But it must have rolled out of bounds and it was off of Joker. Because it hit him in the face. Texter here. Nuggets in six means we close out at Minnesota. I don't see that happening. This smells like a full seven-game series. Minnesota may be the best team the Nuggets will see in the playoffs all of last year and this year. Edwards is a problem. Was he going to fight that fan last night? Ha! What was that all about? We say buck, not lunge. Okay, so he bucked
at her. It's kind of like, you know. You're jumping at somebody.
I don't,
for flinching. So
originally I didn't like it, but now that you go back and you watch the full video and the replays of it, and that woman's just up flailing and, oh, you're a baby. Like, that's not my style. And then the guy got all mad when he did that to her. And
I mean,
they're not just there.
I'll give
for
props
your
to the fan to be brave enough to stand up on in your courtside seat in the middle of a game and do the wham wham.
She probably had a few, maybe.
Probably. I mean, you pay for those tickets, you're going to have a good time.
Oh, wow. It's over, man. Somehow they did it. How about the star of the series, Andrew? How about your boy? I think Michael Porter Jr. was the MVP of the series. That's somewhat debatable. There were certain stars of the series. Porter was steady, though. He was never necessarily the star of a game, perhaps, but he was the same throughout. I mean, in game one, he had 19 points. Game two, he had 22 points. Game three, 20 points. Game four, 27 points, and game five, Michael Porter Jr. had 26. He was just steady. I would say Jamal was probably the star last night. Joker, a Laker, was the star in game four. Aaron Gordon was the star in game three. Joker was probably the star. What was it? Game two? What was Joker's stat line in game two? He had 27, 20 rebounds, and 10. Probably Joker, if you want to go that route. And then game one was probably Joker, 32 points, 12 boards, and 7 assists. But Porter was the most consistent throughout this playoff run. So I think it's fair to say Michael Porter Jr. was the MVP of the first round.
Yeah, I really like the way he stepped up. And, of course, with the stuff going on with his family in the last couple of weeks and being able to perform at such a high level, outside of that, to see, you compare that even to the series a few of the series last year, his game has elevated so much where he's almost, I think he averaged about 9 rebounds in this series. He's hitting timely, good quality jump shots. His jump shot has been beautiful the last 4 months of the season.
Tough shots too, not wide open shots. I also liked when he didn't think there was going to be an open three coming, so he put the ball down. And he dribbled in and got closer to the rim. I love that, Michael Porter Jr.
Whatever he did after the All-Star break, he has been on a steady tear since then.
Why haven't, and maybe I'm wrong on this, it doesn't seem like national media is going with his story. Is that because Jonte's situation is disgraceful to the NBA, and then the other situation is his brother went to prison. His other brother went to prison.
Yeah, I think those are just ones that the NBA image, and the other one is just a tough story for him to deal with, especially because I don't know his name, but the brother that went to jail, he was living with Michael for a year or two when he was going to DU.
Yeah.
And so I'd imagine they were a little bit closer. So, yeah, and Michael's not really the one that's going to beg for the attention. I think Malone's post-game locker room was the first time he actually shouted out MPJ, like, hey, Mike, you had a great game tonight. And I think he's kind of accepted that role where, yeah, I'm very talented, but I don't need the recognition because this is Jokic's and Jamal's team.
Yeah, I thought he was exceptional, man. And I think he was almost special. We got Lonster on the line. Reaction to last night's game, the series win over the Lakers. Lonster, what's happening, man?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm not as stressed as I was last night.
Oh, I tell you what, that had to be the most stressful game I think I've ever watched right there.
It wasn't even fun, bro. It wasn't even fun.
It wasn't. But it's like all the fouls that were called, it was just ridiculous, you know?
Yeah, and the lack of fouls toward the Nuggets. Your reaction, how you feeling? Glass half full, glass half empty with the way the Nuggets ultimately performed in the series?
I'm going to give this one a glass half empty the way that was played last night.
Oh, glass half empty. So you're kind of concerned about the next series.
Yeah, I really am. But I think they'll get it done. I think they just need to rest up. But they just need to slow it down when they go for those three-pointers.
You know, one thing I wanted to see slow down was Joker going for his deep court, his long bomb passes from one end to the other. He's so good at that, but I felt like he just kept trying it, and it wasn't working. I think it worked once.
I think the whole team was trying a little bit too hard a little bit.
It was just clunky. The whole series, this didn't feel like a full-on Denver Nuggets experience. So
no, it didn't.
You can look at it in a positive light or a negative light, and we'll see. Okay, Nuggets, T-Wolves, what do you got? Nuggets in 4, 5, 6, or 7?
I'm going to go with Nuggets in 6.
Nuggets in 6, all right. Lonster, what's for lunch today?
And I'll tell you what, I'll tell you who I think I've been fun for. The three players I've had fun watching is definitely Eric Gordon. Mm-hmm. He's done his job. And McMurray. And then Porter, I'll tell you what, he's really picked this up from the – he's been a good player. And I think the reason we haven't got any – good stuff from the media, because I think because of his two brothers that kind of put a little crimp into it to the media.
Porter's situation, or is that who you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe they don't want to talk about the story. I think it's still triumphant, though. You know, it's tragic what happened, and it's awful. But I think Porter's rising above it. Lonster, what's for lunch today? Celebration lunch day.
You know what? I'm going to have me some green chili.
Sounds like a winning combination, my friend. Nuggets series win and green chili.
Exactly, with chili Fritos and a little bit of hot sauce into it.
You should put some honey on it today because of Joker, one of his many nicknames, Big Honey. Throw some honey on there.
No, too much.
Okay.
That's asking way too much.
Lonster, appreciate the call, man.
You guys have a good day.
You too, man. Quickly, Angel, let's pop into the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. I got to breeze through this, Angel, so we're not going to waste any time. Good, series over. Bad, slow starts. Ugly, MVP not going to the free throw line. Any questions? 33 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a short break right now. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310. KFKA.
Hear from the legendary Coach Bruce Dick and the biggest names in preps on Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 on KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hall Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Man, sports is just amazing, isn't it? We just have so much fun with these Nuggets games. Avs tonight, game 5. Let's get this done. Keep mirroring each other, guys. Let's just get it done, Colorado. We're going to have Kyle Fredrickson on from the Gazette join us, help us preview this game tonight between the Avs and the Jets. But I'll tell you what, you want to make that your house like the ultimate sports hangout, the ultimate hangout spot? You got to check out my friends over at Aloe Fiber. These people are amazing. Amazing. Aloe Fiber understands that connections matter. Connect to faster, friendlier, cutting-edge technology and count on Aloe for exceptional connections every day. Get connected by visiting alofiber.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. A texter here from John. As a child of the 11-71 season in 97, I'll take any playoff series win as a glass half full situation. Yes, there are concerns, but a win is a win, John. I mean, I was joking with Kaz the other day about this, Angel. I remember going to Nuggets games, me and my dad and my brother go to McNichols Arena, and the Nuggets were winning 11 games, 18 games, whatever. And you had to search those kiosks to find Nuggets stuff. And it was all Jordan or Charlotte Hornets or whoever they were playing. The Nuggets were not the feature.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it in the first segment about we expected the Nuggets to play better or handle the series more comfortably. I think it's wise not to let the expectation cloud the reality of it, and that this team had to go through a battle through these five games, and maybe they kind of needed it. Maybe they needed to get, maybe not a slice of humble pie, but say, hey, you won the championship last year, but this is a new year. This is a new Western Conference. You're going to have to battle. And this Lakers team, given all the history in the last 2 years with this team, I expected the Lakers to put up more of a fight. And I think they did. And I think last night was probably their, we ask every game, was that their best shot? I think it was, because you had all five starters contribute.
Was it their last shot?
Yes.
LeBron's opting out of the contract is what we're hearing, and he's going to enter free agency. I guess it doesn't mean he can't be a Laker.
Sure.
But does it mean, hey, team, whoever, draft Bronny, and that's where I'll sign? Is that what we're setting up for?
I don't buy the Bronny stuff. I don't think he's at that level yet. But
LeBron has this much sway in the league where all you got to do is draft him, and I'll be there. And because I think LeBron's more concerned, don't know that personally, just everything you hear, more concerned about making history and being the first father-son duo to play, which would be pretty freaking cool, rather than looking, you know, what does he want? Money? Does he want to win a championship, or does he want to play with his son? I don't know that all three of those things fit together.
Sure.
So I guess we're going to find out. A couple other thoughts here on the text line. First Advantage text line. 888-530-0043. Lakers were given every opportunity to win that game. Literally every break went their way down the stretch, and still they couldn't seal the deal. And LeBron not shaking hands after the game is really all you need to know about him. Yeah, I don't like that. At least I don't need you to hug and whisper into each other's ears and do all that stuff. A quick handshake. Anthony Davis did it.
Yeah, I think maybe Davis got a little close to the Nuggets because of the Game 2 benching kind of thing. So it's like, hey, maybe these guys are all right.
You want some help? Should I come over here and back up Joker? No.
I just don't want to go to the locker room and get yelled at by LeBron because my shoulder hurts.
And listen,
LeBron, it's a nerve issue. I can't help
it. Yeah, to be fair, like I'm not one of those guys. I never go, oh, he's faking it. And hockey and basketball, two totally different sports. Totally different. Are hockey guys probably the toughest SOBs out there? Sure, right up there with UFC guys. But every sport has its own thing. I don't expect a guy that goes down on his shoulder not to be writhing in pain. It's just, it always seems a little more dramatic. And AD's not as dramatic. He's just hurting. But still.
It feels like every injury he has is like, eh, that looks like it hurts.
It does. It did look like it hurt. And there's no doubt that it was probably excruciating. It was probably really killing him. But I've always just said this, if you're so hurt, we have to take a TV timeout, then you need to sit out for a little bit. I don't think you should be able to come right back in. If we have to stop the game for your injury, then you have to sit out until the next check-in.
I mean, how many possessions went by after KCP got his ankle rolled a little bit?
Yeah.
And he's just limping along trying to play defense.
I was shocked he came out at halftime.
Yeah.
And he put together some decent things. You know,
big three late.
Huge three. It all came together for him. 43 minutes after the hour. When we come back, let's talk about, well, maybe some early thoughts on the Minnesota series, what Michael Malone had to say about Jamal Murray, what he had to say about the team not necessarily thinking it would be a good idea for him to play in that game last night. 43 after the hour. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination, and we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado, there's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I don't want to sit. You know, I think the training staff, they're just really cautious with it. You know what I'm saying? They didn't want it to get worse. And I was like, I'm not going to leave my brothers out there. I got a little emotional in the back because I was like, I'm not sitting. I don't care what it is we got to figure out. And I'm just thankful that they let me play, and I was able to get this opportunity to actually put that ball in the hoop.
There's Jamal Murray. They weren't nuts about him playing. We talked about it, but boy, are we glad he did. Michael Malone was talking about the interaction with Jamal after the game. I'll just let you listen.
The conversation before the game, without getting into too much detail, was an emotional one about him playing tonight. And as he just told me, he goes, I'm glad I played because I don't know if we win if I don't play tonight. I said, well, that's the understatement of the year. The kid's a warrior, man. I can't say enough good things about Jamal Murray.
I mean, it was an understatement. Jamal Murray, 32 points. Clutch at the end of this game again. To say you had two game winners in one series is pretty phenomenal for a non-all-star, bro.
Well, when Jamal said this one probably meant more, but what do you think? Which one was a cooler shot?
What was the cooler shot?
Or what was like just the bigger shot to make?
Because last night's game sucked so incredibly much, I just hated it. To see that ball go in, it was pure relief. So I will say that that was more important. But then again, you lose game two. And it's 1-1, and you're heading to L.A. Maybe that changes the mentality of everything going forward. Who knows what would happen? Boy, that is a tough question. That's a poll question for tomorrow. What was the, I don't know, more important shot, best shot, favorite shot? I don't know. Between those. I'm recency bias today, Angel. I'm going to say last night. The sexier shot was game two. That was Jamal going to the right. I think somebody asked, like, what was the difference? He said, first one I went to the right, second one I went to the left.
Yeah, and it was a little more contested.
Yeah, it was. Didn't even look like it went in. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm watching the last show. The game two, it was like, that was just a picture, man. That was art. And you could see that thing going up in the air, and I was like, that's going in. This one, it was like he was a barn owl. And the reason I say barn owl, if those of you who did not participate in bird coverage, barn owls are the quietest flyers in all of the species. So that's what it looked like to me. Just he dribble, rolls around, gets the screen, pops it up, and it goes in. It's like, nothing. What? Did that? Oh, yeah. Wow. It went in. And then the Lakers missed their half-court shot. I'm going to say last night was better, but the shot in game two was sexier. We'll go with that. 50 minutes after the hour. Your thoughts on that one? Get ahead of the poll question. Big Hub wants to know, will the Nuggets win round two against the Minnesota Timberwolves? Am I prepared for that yet? Am I prepared? Let's talk about the matchups, our early thoughts on this series, and are we in for an absolute dogfight or wolf fight? For those following along, it's The Whole Show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Scores, interviews, and more. Preps Rewind with Mike Danson. Saturdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Colorado Rockies and formerly voice of the UNC Bears, and you're listening to The Whole Show.
Sometimes you just need insurance. And in sports, you need it. You're up by one, you need a three. You get up by four. That's a little insurance there. Feel good about yourself. Well, how about my friends at Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor, Ryan Hicks? He and his partner formed this insurance group over 20 years ago. They are UNC Bears alumni. So there you go, Angel, when you're looking at your insurance needs. Maybe you want to go with somebody that's like-minded that went to the University of Northern Colorado. Risk management, commercial, personal insurance needs, workers' compensation, farming operations, you name it. They're going to take care of you. I've known Ryan for maybe a year now. And he's like, he and I are texting and hanging out, man. I love this guy. He's a great guy. And everybody knows him. And you always, when I see somebody in a community like this and everybody knows him, and it's always like, hey, man, how are you? Ryan, it's all good. That means he's good at what he does. That's Ryan Hicks at Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor. Poll question of the day presented by Chipper's Lanes. How is this series going to unfold between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves? Nuggets in 4, 5, 6, 7, or do the Timberwolves win? You notice I don't even put that as an option on my Twitter. Well, you could only put four options. So I got Nuggets in 4, Nuggets in 5, Nuggets in 6. 71% of the Hooligans voting on Twitter right now are saying Nuggets in 6. That seems to be a common one that people go to. All right, coming up next, we're going to hit the top stories of the day. Future for the Los Angeles Lakers, a breakdown, a short preview early ahead of Nuggets Timberwolves. And later on in the program, we're going to have Kyle Fredrickson, one of our Avs insiders, help us preview Avs Jets Game 5. Are we going to have another series conclusion tonight for the Ball Arena team? It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.